corner taken, and Simon Rodger floats it in, and it's cleared by Tyler again. David Hopkin looking to curl one!
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the HLTCO Crystal Palace podcast for Tuesday, the 8th of July, 2025. There continues to be progressing transfer news with Crystal Palace, and it should be said that despite the fact we are in this prolonged and enforced state of limbo because of UEFA's, how would you even describe it at this stage, sleepwalking or lack of urgency, or whatever you want to call it, in relation to our place in Europe, we continue to do business. Walter Benitez, the PSV goalkeeper, has come in on a free transfer to be competition slash backup to Dean Henderson. And according to numerous reports, including now in The Guardian and with David Ornstein in The Athletic, Borna Sosa, the Ajax left wingback slash left midfielder, 27 years old, formerly of Stuttgart, is set to undertake a Crystal Palace medical today ahead of a move which, depending on who you listen to, could be worth between £2 to £4 million overall. I think if you look at that, and obviously £2 million to your everyday Joe in the street is still a huge amount of money, but in Premier League terms, for a transfer fee for someone plying their trade in a top European division, it does seem like a genuine drop in the ocean. And even though I've seen plenty of Ajax supporters say that defensively, Borna Sosa leaves a great deal to be desired, if you look at his ability to deliver balls in from the left-hand side, it quite clearly is a positional decision that is being taken by Oliver Glasner, his coaching staff and the recruitment team, which offers an alternative to Tariq Mitchell on the left. You know, someone that can potentially in the final 20 to 30 minutes of games, when we are trying to pile the pressure on for a late goal, pop up with an assist that could well be the difference between losing a game and getting a point, or potentially turning a draw into a win. So I am very much open to it. I appreciate there are plenty of people that are going to be quick to jump on Crystal Palace fans getting too excited if in the first few weeks he does drop a defensive clanger, because if you speak to pretty much every single Ajax fan, they will tell you that his defensive game is not one they feel is up to the rigours of Premier League football week on week. But I still expect Tyrick Mitchell to be the first choice left back going into the 25-26 season, just as I expect Dean Henderson to be the first choice for Oliver Glasner between the sticks. But again, if we are going to be participating in Europe, whether that is the Europa League or the UEFA Conference next season, we are going to need more beef in terms of our squad, backup options, rotational options, you know, the ability to rest certain key personnel from week to week, whether it's in a European game or in a Premier League fixture. And along those same lines, there is seemingly a potential deal in place for Davide Calabria, the former AC Milan man. He was on loan last season, I believe, with Bologna, and it now sounds as though he may well be of interest to Crystal Palace. Obviously, a right-hand sided defender, he is a product of the AC Milan Academy and has been without a club since the end of June after Bologna refused to make his move permanent at the end of his loan spell with them. According to Gianluca Di Marzio, a Sky Sport Italia transfer expert, Crystal Palace could well accelerate our interest in the next few hours to try and secure his signature as a free agent. And again, I've seen certain people outside of the Palace bubble suggest that it's foolish to go for European journeymen, whether you're looking at Walter Benitez, Borna Sosa or Davide Calabria, when, you know, you look at our transfer business in recent years and we have thrived by signing young players from lesser recognised European leagues or the Championship, in the case of, say, Chet Decore or Adam Wharton, Michael Olise, etc. But if you're thinking about it from an immediate prospect of having to play European football at the very start of next season, or at least from September, we do need more depth, and we need players that we aren't going to have to polish up to a certain extent. Players that can slot in and immediately become part of Oliver Glasner's first team squad. I also said to somebody else yesterday that It may well be that I am acting on pure blind faith at this stage, but I do have genuine faith in Oliver Glasner to turn pretty much any single player into a useful first team option for us. You know, I think I said to somebody specifically yesterday, I'd back him to make me into a decent deep lying playmaker if he had a few months to do so. So, I mean, I look throughout our squad and pretty much every single individual, other than the likes of Rob Holding and Austin Edward, who were cast aside by Oliver Glasner very early on in his tenure in SE25, pretty much everybody has improved and made strides forward. I think you can point towards players like Matthias França and Romain Essay as individuals who maybe haven't had quite as an explosive a start under him as you would have hoped, but again, it may well be a learning process. I think plenty of people have sort of looked towards Romain Essay's arc since joining from Millwall and suggested that he isn't particularly fancied by Oliver Glasner and that there are certain teething problems in that individual relationship between player and manager. But who knows, maybe a full pre-season and, you know, the player and manager getting on the same page in terms of what is expected from them each week after week, and we may well see that particular individual blossoming in the Crystal Palace first team across the 25-26 season. We'll have to wait and see. But certainly at the moment, for a combined transfer outlay of between £2 and £4 million, the arrivals of Walter Benitez, Borna Sosa and Davide Calabria would certainly feel like solid business from a Crystal Palace point of view, because it leaves a huge amount of wiggle room there for more high profile signings later on in the summer window. You know, I've spoken numerous times on this pod about those quotes from Oliver Glasner at the back end of last season when he said he wanted Crystal Palace to get our transfer business done a lot earlier this time around. That has been thrown into some sense of disarray because of this ongoing situation concerning UEFA and our place in the Europa League from the 25-26 season onwards. But if you look at this trio of deals that potentially we could have over the line by the end of this working week, I think that it solves problem issues. You know, Matt Turner leaving the club at the end of this season after his loan expired and us getting Walter Benitez in, undeniably an upgrade and someone that is happy to be competition slash rotation for Dean Henderson. If you look at the problem areas of right and left back, you know, there has been no bona fide left back backup to Tyrick Mitchell for the best part of 2 to 3 years now. We are seemingly on the verge of solving that particular problem with the arrival of Borna Sosa. You look at the right-hand side, Joel Ward and Nathaniel Klein are not going to be relied upon to be that backup to Daniel Munoz. And whilst Davide Calabria is not necessarily an all-singing, all-dancing recruit, I think it is a very solid piece of business given his European pedigree and the fact that Oliver Glasner will look to mould him into exactly what he wants. I think he can also be relied upon to maybe shift across into that right centre-back role should it be required, and, you know, that helps in terms of depth in that central defensive trio as well. So you're looking at three problem areas of the squad there that will have been addressed very early on and for very little financial outlay. Of course, in the sense of both Walter Benitez and Davide Calabria, should both of them end up joining, then there will have been, you know, hefty signing on bonuses because you're looking at free transfers, but it still is a drop in the ocean compared to the sort of transfer fees you would have to pay for top players across the European game. And as I say, it does offer us that freedom to go into the market with the rest of our transfer budget, which should be relatively hefty regardless of any potential outgoings. You know, I'm not even factoring in the potential departures of Abir Ayeze and Mark Gay into these conversations. We could probably still spend £20 to £30 million on extra bodies across the squad without even having to worry about replacing those two individuals. So things are looking pretty solid as things stand. And if Borna Sosa does pass his medical today, we could well see an announcement tomorrow. I see no reason why not, and that would be, you know, something boxed off and certainly give us some positivity going into the next few days. We know that Leon's appeal with the DNCG is set to be heard on Thursday of this week. I'm not sure how quickly the turnaround can come from the DNCG appeal being heard and UEFA's final ruling on our place in Europe being given. You would hope that, you know, everything is really lined up and ready to go from UEFA's point of view, and they are merely waiting to hear what the DNCG appeal comes out with. It may well be a case of, you know, an ideal situation, undeniably, here would be, from a Crystal Palace point of view at least, that John Textor and Leon have flown far too close to the sun and have their relegation to League Dirt upheld. If that is the case, there is no legal challenge whatsoever against Crystal Palace and they can waive through our participation into the Europa League regardless. The alternative, if that isn't the outcome of this and Lyon's appeal is successful and they are reinstated to Ligue 1, is that UEFA then make the decision to let Crystal Palace in as a consequence of conversations they've had with our hierarchy and their curiosity being satisfied. And then, of course, there is a can of worms that is potentially opened by an appeal from a club that I think we can all think of without needing to name them at this stage. But this is all pie in the sky. And really, I just hope that we aren't left over the weekend waiting for UEFA, you know, left to twiddle our thumbs another couple of days further. It should be pretty straightforward for them on the Friday, regardless of what happens on the Thursday, to make their ruling. And hopefully that ruling is that Crystal Palace will be allowed to participate in the Europa League across the 25-26 season. But until that time comes, we are on tenterhooks. We are sitting here in this in full state of purgatory, and that will be the case and has been the case for so long now that I've sort of become used to, and I'm sure many people listening to this have become used to that sense of almost sitting on a thorny bush. It really does feel as though, you know, it's been an uncomfortable summer. It should have been a summer in which we could all just bask in the glow of that maiden FA Cup victory and look forward to a campaign of European football. But unfortunately, it's not something we've been allowed to enjoy. It has undeniably impacted our transfer business. But that's the other factor. If by Friday we have clarity over our European place, then we can really put our foot to the floor in terms of transfer business and look to get another couple of signings over the line nice and quickly so that Oliver Glasner remains satisfied with the squad building process behind the scenes in SE25, and we can, you know, look forward to hopefully fighting successfully on four separate fronts across the campaign to come. Other than that, there isn't a great deal for me to bring you up to date with on this Tuesday morning, so I will sign off there. The weather today is undeniably better than yesterday, so hopefully that brightens your mood as well, and I will look forward to speaking to you again bright and early tomorrow. Bye for now.